Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Pankajanabhaya
Namah Pankajanabhaya
Namah Pankajamaline
Namah Pankajamaline
Namah Pankajanetraya
Namah Pankajanetraya
Namaste Pankajam Hraye
Namaste Pankajam Hraye.
The Lord has specific features that identify us. These are described in the scriptures and are personally demonstrated by the Lord when He appears in this world. We see that the wife of Advaita Acharya, whose name was Sita, when she went to see the newly born child of Shachimata, could understand that he has the same features as Gokula Kanda, as Krishna in Vrindavan. He had all the same auspicious bodily features, with one exception. What is that exception? Color, yes. His bodily effulgence was, his bodily color was gold instead of blackish. So this is very important, considering there are so many rascals who claim themselves to be God when they're not at all. We don't have so many incarnations in Croatia. But in India, I mean, the places, there's crowded up with incarnations. When I was traveling and preaching in Bangladesh, I used to say that Bangladesh is not an unfortunate country. It may be poverty-stricken, but it's a very fortunate place. Because in all the universe, with all its planets and mountains and seas, for all the millions of such universes, there is only one God. But in Bangladesh, there's a God in every village. It's indirectly pointing out their foolishness. We have so many people in India coming and claiming that such and such is an incarnation of God. But there are various reasons if people are told sincere, which they're not, but at least we can point out that to them that they're such rascals. We can show that they're wrong. The specific bodily features of the Lord, one of them is that He is extraordinarily beautiful. So one of the most popular incarnations, He is extraordinarily ugly. Three guesses as to who it is. So it's not very difficult to point out that he's not God. God doesn't have such an ugly, crumpled up black face like him. God is very beautiful. Yang Shamasundaram Atintya Guna Swarupa. He's blackish, but extraordinarily beautiful. His form is composed of inconceivable transcendental qualities. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. His beauty is so extraordinarily beautiful that it is the object of desire for many, many millions of cupids. So some description of his form is given here. Various parts of the Lord's form are compared to lotuses. Here is described his lotus navel, his lotus eyes, in that he is decorated with a garland of lotuses, and his lotus feet. Now there are various reasons why the word lotus is used. Padmanabha means that not only is his navel as beautiful as a lotus, but actually a lotus grows from his navel. Then Padmamalina means that he has a garland of lotus flowers. Then other descriptions, also it's described his lotus face, lotus lips. So this is an analogy, because the lotus is considered the most beautiful object in the material world. So it's given as an analogy. Krishna is more beautiful than anything in this material world. There are other examples given also, just like we say, Krishna Chandra. Krishna is compared to the moon, because the moon is also considered very beautiful. Of course, the moon or the lotus, they actually get their beauty from Krishna. And then they're used also to as examples to describe the beauty of Krishna. Now, Krishna, we always hear of his lotus feet. So beautiful like lotuses. Another reason is because Krishna's feet are on the Golok planet, which is shaped like a lotus. Here is described that Krishna's Padmanetra, or Pankajanetra, his eyes are, his netra means eyes. So here, Prabhupada has translated this as, his glance is as cooling as a lotus flower. And it also means his eyes are beautiful like a lotus. There are many such names. In Sanskrit there are many words for lotus, and many words for eye also. So there are many combinations. Here the word pankaja is being used. Panka means mud. Pankaja means born in the mud. The lotus grows in the mud. Some other words for lotus? Can I think of? Kamal. 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 Couldn't ask. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, definitely you'll find so many references. Padma is a common word. If you read the Sanskrit verses, then definitely you'll get to know so many different words. And you'll get to learn, for instance, so many words for lotus, because it's a very commonly used word in Bhagavatam. If you read the Sanskrit, you'll find there's so many wonderful nuances of expression, which actually they can't be translated into English or any other Mlecha Bhasha, language of the Mlechas. And it's very sweet and poetic also. So, another name for lotus is Ambuja, which is born in the water. And then you get so many other words, you get so many names for eyes also. Here we have Netra, means eyes. Some other words? Akshan, yes. Chakshan, yes. Nayana, know that word, Nayana? Nayana Hari Boshadajo. Nayana means eyes. So then you get so many combinations. Here we have Pankaja Netra, you could also have Pankaja Nayana, Pankaja Aksha, Padma Aksha, Ambuja Aksha. So many combinations. You'll find these names in Bhagavatam. There's one nice combination of all the names of Krishna in Bhagavatam that's been composed in Sanskrit verse. That's in the Vallabh Sampradaya. I don't know exactly who has composed. I have that book. It's very nice. So, Kunti Devi is continuing to recite different names of Krishna. In this way, she's pointing out the specific characteristics of Krishna, so there can be no mistake who she's referring to. Even if she was just to call him Krishna, it might not. Someone else can claim to be Krishna. There are many people called Krishna. If you go to India, you'll find many people called Krishna. But here she's defining Krishna, who is Vasudev, the son of Vasudev, who is the giver of pleasure to Devaki. And so many different definitive names are being given. Here, the beauty of Krishna in relation to the lotus is being described. So this appreciation of the form of Krishna, we'll find again and again in Bhagavatam, there are different descriptions of the form of the Lord. This is natural for the devotees to appreciate the beauty of Krishna. Krishna consciousness means personalism. It's distinct from the simply impersonal understanding of the Absolute Truth. In personal realization, there's really nothing to do. All you do is you study philosophy and you understand, I'm not this body, and that's it. There's nothing else to do. All you can do is sit and meditate. Aham Brahmasmi. Or maybe for a variety, you could say, Brahmasmi Aham. There's nothing much to do. But Krishna consciousness is full of wonderful variegated activities. Because Krishna is the supreme person, and he's not a boring person. I remember I was brought up as a Catholic, as probably most of you were also. Is it? Croatians? Anyway, I was brought up as a Catholic. So I remember thinking as a kid that I was like, we're supposed to go to heaven, but it sounds really boring. I mean, going to church is really boring. Imagine if you have to do that. Imagine if you have to be like that for eternity. God sounds like a really boring old man. And you just have to sit and sing hymns forever. So maybe better go to hell, it might be more interesting. All the bad guys go there. Well, all my friends are bad guys. Maybe you'll have more fun down there. A few years ago I read that they asked the, at that time, Archbishop of Canterbury, who's now no longer the Archbishop of Canterbury because he's dead. The Archbishop of Canterbury means the leading Protestant minister in the world. So they asked him that, well, what do you want to do when you go to heaven? They were just presuming he was going to go to heaven, although it's unlikely. So he said, I will spend the first 100 years glorifying God. And he said, for the rest of eternity, I will enjoy myself. They have no idea. But we have descriptions of Krishna's pastimes, which are full of wonderful activities. It's an action-packed life. Very active life. It's not a place for lazy people. If you want to be lazy and simply sleep, then you can go to the impersonal Brahma. Oops, I got to make this one. Then you can just move. Prabhupada told, he'd seen so many yogis meditating and snoring very loudly. Because Prabhupada was living for so many years at Allahabad, where they have 1 month every year, they have the Magh Mela, so many yogis come. So the people of Allahabad, they come down to the bank of the Ganga to have a look at all the yogis. So Prabhupada said, I saw so many yogis simply snoring. But Krishna, he has such a busy life. Even his mother wants to put him to sleep, make sure he gets enough sleep. But as soon as his mother goes out the door, he goes out the window. He's playing all day with the cowherd boys and dancing all night with the gopis. He just comes back in time to be woken up by his mother. And he takes a little rest towards the end of the night or sometimes during the day like that. But otherwise very busy, full of transcendental pleasure. You may think that, well, God is very busy, he has to manage the whole universe. You can see how busy someone is just to manage a family or to manage a small office or factory. What if you have to manage millions of universes? So Krishna is doing them. But he's not, doesn't worry him at all. He's playing on his flute. We have the saying that Caesar fiddles while Rome burns. You don't know that?
No.
Well, that's from the, there was the emperor, the Caesar, I think his name was Nero. So the Rome was being attacked by Huns, and they were all the ministers were coming and telling him he was playing his violin. So there's a saying that Caesar fiddles while Rome burns. Mm-hmm. You know that?
Yeah.
You don't have that in your language.
No.
So it's not that Krishna is negligent. He's simply playing on his flute and then not seeing to the universal management. But he does that through his expansions, especially the Purusha avatars. They oversee the universes. Mahavishnu, that means Karandakshay Vishnu, Vengavadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu. They are overseeing the universes. And they are assisted by the demigods. Not that they need their assistance, but they give them something to do. And as far as the spiritual world is concerned, that is also managed by Krishna's potencies. Even Krishna's pastimes, yes. Just like we are discussing, how shall we organize the Govardhan Puja festival tomorrow? But Krishna doesn't sit and organize his pastimes. That's already done by his Yogamaya potency. So he's simply enjoying. And devotees who serve Krishna, they also simply enjoy serving him in various ways. Here is a description of Krishna's beautiful form. Krishna also enjoys that even though his form is by itself extraordinarily beautiful, but still Krishna likes to dress up and to be dressed up. Mother Yashoda dresses Krishna in the morning. The different cowherd boys help to put on different jewels, anklets and armlets, and bracelets, necklaces, earrings, and of course peacock feather in the orange bottom. So many different things. And in the forest, Krishna also likes to decorate himself with different natural colors, like different colored earths and different natural colors extracted from flowers and so on. And the gopis bring him flower garlands and tulsi garlands. And this way Krishna is decorated very nicely. So devotees, they also take pleasure in serving Krishna in this way.
Well, they love
it in the material world. Krishna very kindly appears in the form of the deity, so that the devotees can begin to enter into his wonderful pastimes in the spiritual world, beginning early in the morning when he rises, continuing throughout the day, and even for breakfast, Krishna, what a breakfast he eats. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some description. Shakti-sakari, bhaji-nalita, kushmanda, dali-dalna, dugda-tumbi, dali-mocha-kanda. Just to start off with, there's shukta, which is a kind of bitter vegetable, different varieties of shark, shukta-sakari, and fried items, different fried vegetables. And then squash, varieties of dal, and dalna, which means vegetables cooked in dal. Dugda-tumbi, which means one kind of squash cooked in milk, yogurt, and mochakanda, which means preparation made from banana flowers. Adhikara paka anna vidinha banjan. Radharani cooks many varieties of vegetables. So many different items are described. That's Krishna's breakfast. And then he takes his tiffin, his lunchbox, out to the midday posa. And he may be eating different fruits in the forest also. And he comes back in the evening and has another big meal. So Krishna is an active young boy with good appetite. You can see he looks a little fat. So he eats plenty. He's not starving. He's not a starving Indian. So devotees, they worship the form of the deity, and they feed him varieties of nice food stuff. They take great pleasure in decorating his form in various ways and sing various songs for his pleasure. In this way they prepare themselves to enter the spiritual world. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question? Well, it's not that they all directly came from the spiritual world. Many of them have been around in the material world for quite a long time. And they are definitely in Maya, and they're definitely demons. But their activities are orchestrated by Yoga Maya for Krishna's pleasure. They are under the control of Mahamaya. They're in illusion, thinking that I am his body and I hate Krishna. But Mahamaya is an expansion of Yoga Maya. And when Krishna comes to this material world, Yoga Maya coordinates Krishna's activities with those of the material world. So the two appear to mix, but they actually harmonize for Krishna's pastimes. So demons like Kamsa and others, they are in contact with Krishna in one sense. In another sense, they don't see Krishna at all. Just like Kunti Devi has described in the previous verses, Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam, he's invisible to the foolish observers. Alakshasi Bhuta Krishna. So, no, it's not that the demons are coming from the spiritual world to nourish Krishna's pastimes, but that's their good fortune that they are selected to do so. Ultimately, everyone's originally from the spiritual world. So we are told by Srila Prabhupada, and there is sufficient evidence also from other acharyas, although some people say otherwise.
Sometimes acharyas in Srila Prabhupada also say that Dvaita Vidhi does not function for us nowadays. That we should
Vedic, yeah.
Vedic, Vedic path. That we should follow Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi. And on the other side we can hear that we should follow Vedas. So if you could...
Yeah, well, when he said that we follow the Vedic path, that means that's speaking in broad terms. that which is given in Pancharatra and Bhagavat is not outside of the scope of the Vedas. It's all for the same purpose. However, the Pancharatra, it's not, or the Bhagavat, it's not directly part of the original Veda. So, technically speaking, from one point of view, you can differentiate between the Vedic path and the Pancharatra or Bhagavat path. Although in broader terms, they're all, they can all be called the Vedic path. Well, that is the nature of the material world. There's always degeneration. That's why Krishna comes again and again. He sends his representatives again and again. Krishna corrects the situation, but then again it goes off.
She would like to know, what is the position of the persons in the spiritual world who actually make some obstacles for Krishna's pastimes to go on, as for example Jatila? Is it really their role in the spiritual world?
Yeah, but they're also devotees. They have that role. Prabhupada also called some of his disciples Jatila, Kutila. Without that, without them being present, there wouldn't be so much taste in the pasta. This is not a good habit. This would. It's all cut. This is just some nervous habit, is it, Mr. Doctor? just like some nervous is like. It's cut. Horrible. Cutting yourself just because. Better chant Hare Krishna. And hold your beads instead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. There must be some nervous.
Nervous of initiation.
Nervous, maybe. No, nervous, I mean, there's different meaning also. I mean, it's just like excess energy or something. Anyway, it's better to enhance. Better just to listen to the class.
The question was that you said during the lecture that Mother Yashoda is helped by cowherd boys to dress Krishna.
You've seen that picture? I think it's in Krishna book, maybe. It's a nice picture of Mother Yashoda.
The question is, how is it that boys are helping Mother Yashoda when she is the queen of Vrindavan, of Gokula, and how is it that the queen of Gopis, how is it that Gopis do not help her, but cowherd boys?
Gopis means the elderly Gopis, like her Mother Yashoda's age, they're helping. But the young Gopis, their relationship with Krishna is secret. So they do that also. I can't understand. Who can understand Krishna?
Is it then that Gopis also help, elderly Gopis, they also help Mother Yashoda to dress Krishna as well as the...
Yeah, that means there are so many servants there who are assist her. You wouldn't be allowed. You have to put on a dhoti first of all. Then you might have a chance. So when you all please come to the initiation ceremony, not just for prasad and mantra. Give your blessings. And please come dressed in clothes so that you might get a chance to enter into the Vrindavan pastimes. That means dhoti, sari, all these things. Tilak. Tomorrow also when we're going for the parikrama, everyone should be dressed in Vaishnava dress. Okay, anything else? Yeah, Hare Krishna.